Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Stephen Orhouse Media.
Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for another Just Another Fanboy classic episode. Today, we're going back 17 years to Wednesday, May 8th, 2007. This is episode number 37 of Just Another Fanboy, Volume 1, Shaken, Not Stirred. Enjoy!
You're listening to Just Another Fanboy, the podcast that's shaken, not stirred. Just Another Fanboy is a Lynx Broadcasting production and a proud member of the Comics Podcasts Network.
Up in the sky, look!
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book!
Welcome to episode number 37 of Just Another Fanboy.
37?
37.
Already?
Already.
Where was I?
You were gone for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Well, hey, I'm your host, Steven. And joining me after a two-week absence is the lovely and talented Karen.
That's me. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good, and I'm back. Good.
You're back.
I'm back in the podcast groove.
That's great.
It is great.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it's been weird.
It has been weird.
It's been weird.
You've been missed.
I've missed. So, let's get on with the fun stuff.
Let's get on with the shoe.
The shizzo.
All right. Well, I want to give out a thanks once again to Sean and Jim from Raging Bullets for joining me last week for episode number 36. Really had a lot of fun with those guys. I know you haven't listened to the episode
yet. I haven't listened yet.
But
I keep
it's
meaning
like
to.
2 hours and 15 minutes long.
That's probably why I haven't.
Very long. Yeah. I have to give it up to those guys because they must have comfortable chairs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, their average podcast is about 2 hours to 2.5 hours long.
Oh, and yeah, you mentioned that.
Sitting here for 2.5 hours, because we ended up talking for almost 3 hours, but after editing it down, it came down to about 2 hours and 15 minutes, but the rump hurt some.
You had an achy-breaky bottom.
Had an achy-breaky bottom, but I had a lot of fun with that, and actually, that leads me into a little somewhat of an announcement.
Dun, da, da, da.
Now that I have Skype and Skype works, and I will soon be getting the hot recorder so I can record Skype type conversations on my newfangled computing box I got over here down on the desk. I had an idea. It wasn't just my idea. I had some input from the great folks at Lynx Broadcasting who thought maybe I should ramp her up a notch and do maybe 2 episodes a week. And the idea was to do 1 episode with you and I.
Yeah.
Kind of what we're doing now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you'll get that little, you know, chatty
that
type
dose of
atmosphere.
Me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, for
that
shizzle.
Little chatty dose, that little atmosphere.
I don't know why I try
chat
to pull off talking like that. I can't pull that
I don't
off,
know.
Can I?
But The second episode of the week will be me and just anybody else who wants to come on the show via Skype and talk comics.
That would be pretty cool.
So where we'll have this type of episode.
Oh, no, never mind.
You'll still get the one night a week. Now,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Take a bath.
I was gonna say, ooh, I can have two.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
But you'll have one episode a week like this, which does have comic content, but not as much as maybe some of the listeners like. And then another day of the week, you'll have pretty much a solid nothing but comics podcast. So if
but
you're
it's still going to be called Just Another Fanboy, yeah. Both of them, just like part one and part two, or what?
No.
No?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going on.
We'll number them like regular episodes. Like if we started this week, this would be episode 37, then episode 38 would be an episode with a special guest host.
Okay.
So if you're a listener and you have some ideas and you want to come on and talk comics with me, I'll start a thread probably before this episode maybe is
out. We got to get Heather. Can you imagine having the eggs girl just for, you know, it doesn't have to be just about comics, or should it be? I suppose it probably should be.
Well, it probably should, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what we come across.
It'd be nice to have, like, maybe once a month do a listener's show, you know, where you have a conversation with a particular listener.
Just be like, hello, like how you doing? How's it going?
No, like that. Okay. You know, where you'd interview them or whatever. You know, just your average listener. Anybody. That way anybody could.
Yeah, because you don't have to have Skype to participate, because I can call you through Skype on the phone.
Yeah.
On the telephone.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Sounds like a good plan, Stan.
All right. I want to remind everybody that a few weeks back, Just Another Fanboy had a little clip played on episode number 76 of Comic Book Noise with Derek Coward.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that, go check it out. Derek
me
does,
at my dorkiest. God.
Whatever. Derek has been doing the last few episodes podcast spotlight, where he's been spotlighting four or five podcasts, comic podcasts per episode, and we made it on number 76.
Pretty cool.
That was kind of neat.
It was cool.
And
I feel infamous.
Better than being infamous.
Yeah. I can be a celebutant.
So this past Saturday was Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, I know. Whatever that means.
Basically,
I don't understand, but go ahead.
Basically, what that means is that all the comic book publishers around take a few titles and you can pick them up for free.
Okay. So it's not any comic book that you want.
No.
You can just, okay.
No,
that's
you don't
what
just
I didn't know.
Walk in with a shopping bag and grab all the free comics.
No, not all the free, but I mean like, okay, you're going in to buy your comic books, you get one free, but no, it has to be from a particular list.
It has to be from a particular list.
And can you get them all?
No.
Okay.
It's depending on the store you go into, because even though they're free to the consumer, the retailer still has to pay for the books. They don't pay as much as they would for their typical books, but they just pay, from what I understand, just pure basic cost.
Mm-hmm.
And
I finished that sentence. I knew what you were going to say.
And because of this, they still
I can read your mind.
Because of this, a lot of them will limit. You know, of course, they're not going to let you go in and get like six copies of the same book, you know, and a lot of them will say, okay, I think this year they had 28 different books
from different publishers.
Yeah, from different publishers that were free. And I know that certain places you could pick two of the 28.
I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. And it's nice.
Free comic book.
Yeah. And
day. So to even get though, even more than one, I think is,
well, yeah,
that's pretty cool. I wish like Walgreens would do that.
Yeah.
Free makeup brush day or free People magazine day.
But even though the retailers have to,
geeks have it all.
We got it made.
You too.
But even though the retailers have to pay for the books themselves, it's nice for them because it gets people into their store. And a lot of places will make a big event out of it and actually have artists and writers come in and sign and do sketches and or some of the.
Because there's a lot of other stuff to buy in a comic book store.
Yeah, and they'll have.
Times I went in with you, there's all kinds of weird.
Yeah, and they'll have sales.
Stuff.
And now, this year I didn't get to go. I have yet to participate in a free comic book day.
You, But, I should have gone in for you.
Well,
because you were working on Saturday.
Yeah, but I had my boy Craig go.
Oh,
he,
okay.
He went for Free Comic Book Day.
Your work wife.
Me up. Yeah, whatever.
Well,
I don't think so.
If he runs errands for you.
He picked up two books for me.
It's your work
which
wife.
Which he forgot to bring in to work today. Thank you, Craig. But he picked up.
Craig's in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I gave him what for today. But
I know what you're planning
on.
Like too.
I was planning on talking about him tonight
yeah,
on the show.
Were. But oh, he's not in trouble.
No, I can't. But he picked up The Astounding Wolfman number one by Robert Kirkman from Image Comics. This was a neat idea because this is a new series from Image Comics from Robert Kirkman. I don't read anything from Robert Kirkman. He does The Walking Dead, which I wish I would have gotten on from the beginning. So here's a book I can jump in on. But what he did, what they did, which is really nice, is issue one. They released as a free comic book on Free Comic Book Day.
That makes a lot of sense.
Issue two doesn't come out until July. So I can read issue one and decide, do I want to get issue two or not? I have a feeling I'm going to want issue two. But I got that, and then I had him pick up. Marvel did an issue of Amazing Spider-Man with Dan Slott and Phil Jimenez. Who I'm a big fan of his art, so I'm looking forward to that one. I like Dan Slott. He's a pretty good writer.
Are the other books mid-series books? Because, yeah.
A lot of publishers.
Starting with the number one is a very good idea to get people to read your book for free. Get them started.
What some publishers will do, they'll produce like an anthology, which will be like three or four stories from three or four books from there that they publish. You know, so you'll get these little stories from three or four books, and then you can go, well, this is a very interesting story. I'll go ahead and start picking up this book and, you know, stuff like that. So
cool.
But I think next year I'm going to participate. I want to go. I have yet to go to a Free Comic Book Day.
That's really sad.
I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
And I don't mean that like, oh, that's really sad. I mean, that is too bad for somebody like you to never have gotten in on that. Seems kind of.
And I don't know how many years unusual. They've been. I don't know how many years they've been doing the Free Comic Book Day. I think if first really hit me what it was last year because Craig had gone to one and he was telling me about it. But
you didn't know him last year.
Yeah, I did. And I've worked with him for 4 or 5 years for my
my
previous employer.
That's correct.
Yes, that is. Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, let's talk like this, shall we? Oh, let's.
Not.
I'm going to. It's going to be a combination of probably Welsh, Scottish. Okay. And Alabama.
You can talk like that if I can talk like James Brown.
I dare you. You won't have a voice.
Zibidoo!
Oh, I love it a lot. Okay. I don't know what that was.
So, I'm good. I'm going to try to go to Free Comic Book Day next year. But
and
of course,
they only do it once a year or once?
Once a year.
Yeah, it's too bad.
This year, of course, Free Comic Book Day was the same day as the Planet Comic Con. In Kansas City, that I also did not go to because I couldn't burn a vacation day.
Yeah, grown-up decisions that you had to make.
I know, being an adult just bites.
Yeah, well, it's not just being an adult, it's being a parent and having obligations.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That's absolutely right. Amen. Which is biblical. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I've pointed that out to you before.
I don't remember.
Oh, now I have to go get it. Talk.
Okay. Also, last week, 52 ended and countdown begins this week. Looking forward to the countdown. I haven't read the last issue of 52 yet, and I've been trying to avoid the internet as much as possible so I don't get spoiled on the ending of 52. I've gone on and read spoilers for every issue of 52 thus far, but issue 52 itself, I don't want to be spoiled on. And Countdown comes out on Wednesday this week, and apparently there's this guy over at the DC boards that somehow manages to get his comic books on Tuesdays, and he always posts spoilers of all these DC comics every week on Tuesday. And of course, Craig, he reads the spoilers, and he has been bugging me all day long. I know what happens in issue 51 of Countdown. I gotta tell you, dude. I gotta tell you. Like, Craig, just get off of my back.
He's just dying jonesing to talk about it?
I guess.
Or is he just trying to mess with you?
He's doing a little of both.
A little of both.
But I
he
should.
He is your work wife.
No, he is so not my work wife.
He is.
No.
Okay, here's my thing. I keep it tacked up in the bathroom, which I'll explain. And of course, it's pretty obvious. Anybody who even knows any little biblical, but you said the whole Spider-Man thing, with great power comes great responsibility. And I said, oh, that's biblical because that's from Luke From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. So
yay.
I think that's pretty, you know, it's kind of just nature's way.
Yeah.
Whether it's biblical or comic book, that's just the way to do it. If you got it, you give it and you share it and you take care of those who don't. Okay, yeah. So Preacher Karen. I'm such a pilgrim.
But Countdown comes out this week. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I won't get it spoiled. Same with issue 52 of 52. I'll get that on Friday, so everybody shut it. Shutty. I don't want to know.
You know what? Let me got to go back now.
No, you go ahead.
Because I'm having my stream of consciousness. Matrix is another. Totally, totally biblical. Totally based on Jesus and Christ. And the.
But when it really comes
totally.
Down. When it really comes down to it, you know, one of the original good versus evil stories is the Bible.
Yeah.
So.
Hello.
Blah. All right.
Okay.
Anything else you got written down you want to chat about before we get into some news?
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking if we go ahead and end up doing it this way that you're talking about with two different shows, mm-hmm. then I can have my own little segments, like Karen's... Like
Karen's Corner.
Karen's Picks of the Week, and my Picks of the Week will be my new favorite little either gadget or whatever.
Okay.
And then I'll have to have like my little like Gossip Corner, because the only things I have to talk about today that have nothing to do with comics would be celebrity stuff, and then... two things that I've recently discovered that I just love and I want to share with people, because like my whole Swiffer thing, which people are sick of hearing about. And of course, everybody knew that Keds, the shoe, existed before mm-hmm. I talked about that. But okay, so let's just say Paris, 45 days in jail.
Yeah.
And
what for?
And I, God, you are so out of touch. My
hey,
gosh. I think originally she got like a DUI and then she was on a suspended license. But she claims her rep, and her rep claims also that he gave her misinformation that she was only not supposed to drive for 30 days. But she got pulled over two other times and was told each time that her license was still suspended and she wasn't supposed to be driving. So she got hauled into court where her parents, of course, thought money could buy everything. And the judge basically said, you are irresponsible and you're going to go to jail. So I think sometime in June, she's supposed to check in to...
What is she driving for anyway? If I had
no
that
kidding.
Much money, I would have somebody driving me everywhere.
And apparently she cried. And now, aww. Get this. Okay, well, so whether or not she goes to jail, no big deal. Big whoop, you know. Yes, she should pay the price like anybody else. And yet, maybe anybody else with overcrowding and whatnot also wouldn't have to go to jail for something like that. Who knows? I don't know how things work in California. But... The funniest thing is there's a petition that's been started to submit to Governor Schwarzenegger.
To get her into jail earlier?
To keep her out of jail.
Oh, good.
And on her website or her MySpace or whatever, I didn't go to it. I just read the People Online article. You know, she's saying, you know, my fans and supporters of justice everywhere, please sign my petition. And she spelled sign wrong or something like shine or something. You know, it's like if you're going to beg for help, you know, for no reason, because you've got a few days of the real simple life wouldn't hurt that girl with her development into true adulthood, because, you know, you live such a sheltered and whatever life. So anyway, that's my one gossipy thing.
That's hot.
And the second, that's a good one. You're so quick and witty. Quick and witty. Second thing is Ty Pennington, busted for a DUI.
Oh, Ty.
No big surprise there.
Really? He's a Monty Python fan.
Doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
he's a drunkard.
I think originally what I read was alcohol and drugs, but I made sure to read the latest and before we did this, and it just said charged with a DUI or something. So, yeah, you can't be that peppy without a little help.
Oh,
and, I don't know. But it does worry me some, you know. But I mean, it doesn't mean he's a drunk. It just means that he drank and then drove. So, but yeah, not that doesn't surprise me. He's a party boy. You can just tell.
He's got a soft side. He has a little fun designer.
In every town he's in, from what I hear.
Boy, Ty.
You know, he's got girlfriends all over the world. Why not? He's young. He's single. He can do whatever he wants.
He's hot.
He is hot. And I like him a little bit less now. So. And then, Karen's Picks of the Week, as far as favorite things that I found that I love. One is food related. It's these quiches that you've been picking up for me at our local grocery store lately. The brand is Nancy's. And in the frozen food section, your breakfast foods, they have like a quiche Lorraine and a quiche Florentine. And I'm addicted to the quiche Florentine. They're not like your tiny little mini ones that you would get like at a baby shower or a bridal shower, those little, you know, appetizer sized ones. This is like a 4.5 inch round. And they're really good.
This is a man's
and
quiche.
I don't even eat quiche, but we were shopping for frozen breakfast foods for the weekend. And you were like, you found those sausage griddle cake things like they have at McDonald's, but you can buy them. And I was like, nah, I'm not in the mood for that. And I looked and I saw, ooh, that looks, I like spinach. I like cheese. I really like crust. So
I like
crust. And crust that's the good. Best part of it. It really, it's super good. So,
well, hey,
if you
we're
like
be,
that kind of stuff, then
if we're going to be plugging a food product.
Yeah.
I recently discovered the Pillsbury frozen biscuits. Mm-hmm. They're like the individual biscuits in a bag that you can pull out two or three biscuits at a time and heat them up. I am deeply smitten with these.
He is totally smitten. You know, it used to be you could buy those kind of things, you know, frozen and then let them rise and then bake them. But these are just ready to go. You know, you just
pop them in the oven. 20 minutes later, flaky goodness.
Yeah. Nancy's quiche, the little individual. They're really, really good. Just to let you know.
Yummy.
Look for them if you like that kind of stuff.
I've not eaten one because men apparently are not allowed to eat
You know,
quiche.
Back in the 80s, there was a book or something called Real Men Eat Quiche. Was it Real Men Don't Eat Quiche? Which was it?
I don't know.
Maybe it was Real Men Don't Eat Quiche.
Real Men
and
Don't
real
Read.
Women, Real Women Pump Gas in the 80s.
Real Men Don't Read Books About Men Who Eat Quiche.
Yeah, maybe. And then, of course, something that probably the entire world knows about, but I, as a really limited computer user, just discovered.
Oh, dear Lord.
Pop It, baby. Who knew I had the capacity to spend 3 solid days popping balloons for no reason other than, you know, to do it. And I didn't even get it. Like, the point of it till the second day, I just thought I was supposed to pop all the balloons. I didn't realize there was, like, these little prizes that dropped down, and I didn't even know. I was just trying to pop all the balloons and wondered why this was so impossible to do. But, yeah, for 3 days solid, you came. I didn't hardly email you at work. I didn't check any of my favorite websites. And the kids on the first day had Cheetos and fruit chewy snacks for lunch because I didn't. It's like, yeah, whatever you can find. You know, Simon's 4 and he's having to get lunch for his 3-year-old and 1.5-year-old sister. Get some Cheetos. Get some bowls. It was pretty sad. But I've kind of gotten over it. But I could easily get addicted again, probably. Well, but like 3 solid days. You were trying to.
I was trying to get an episode
ready. You were doing the show with the guys? And I was like, okay, I just got to do this. Okay, finish that. And so he's just standing there like I'm just
waiting for.
And I'm like, oh, no. When I say I got to do this, I mean, I got to do this. You just need, you know, I don't mean I have to finish this round. I mean, I got to do this. So, yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so let's do some news.
Okay.
News.
I just did. I gave you the celebrity news. That's all that really matters.
The dish.
Yeah, and I'm sure I've got 2-3 weeks worth of stuff I'd like to talk about that's gossip related because a lot happens. But anyway, go ahead and do your news, babe.
News and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort.
London, Madrid, Bangkok, Moscow, Cincinnati. From the four corners of the world, from the news capitals at home and abroad, the day's headlines brought into focus, the issues and events that shape our time. WKRP, Information Beacon of the Ohio Valley, presents Les Nessman and the News.
Attention all sequential artists. Boom Studios is launching an artist search for their expanding line of comic book projects based on Games Workshop's immensely popular Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000 games. 40K is, I think, what it's called. I don't play it myself, so. Boom Studios is happy and proud to be working with Games Workshop to create great high-quality comics set in the Warhammer and Warhammer 40K universes, says Boom publisher Ross Ritchie. Fan reactions to our current series, Warhammer 40K Damnation Crusade, has been enormous, and we're excited about expanding our line of Warhammer and Warhammer 40K titles. At the moment, our growth is outpacing our ability to find suitable artists for the books. The universes of Warhammer and Warhammer 40K provides a vast, rich source of great story material, and we need more books to tell those stories, Warhammer and Warhammer 40K editor Joe Abrams says. We're working closely with Games Workshop to ensure that we produce high-quality stories that are true to the details and spirit of the Warhammer and Warhammer 40K universes, and it's important that we find the right artists for these projects. Artists should submit via email 3 to 5 pages of sequential artwork, along with contact information, to boom.artist.search@gmail.com.
I think you said Joe Abrams. It's Abraham. Did you say
Abraham? I may have seen Abrams.
You might have said Abrams.
Sorry there, Mr. Abraham.
Or I could have been just hearing wrong. I don't know. But anyway.
In the May 2nd, 2007 Diamond Dateline, Marvel announced that Kabuki number 9, originally scheduled to ship April 11th and then rescheduled to ship May 16th, is now delayed to July 11th. No reason for the delay is given. Warner Home Video has announced it will release Todd McFarlane's Spawn, the animated collection, the 10th anniversary edition, on July 24th. The 4-DVD set contains the 18 episodes from the 1997 season of HBO's animated Spawn series. The DVD will feature an audio commentary, sketches, storyboards, and various documentaries, among other extras.
Animated, but not necessarily children-friendly, is that correct?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, I don't... Yeah. Animated used to mean kids' cartoons, and so I don't always know. But you think HBO, then you think, well, probably not for kids, but...
I mean, it's it's violent.
Well, because most comics originated for, you know, children, so I just want to... You know, I don't know. I'm trying to get edumacated. Jeez. Not for kids.
No. Okay.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
Here's some movie news. Spider-Man 3 has earned its place in the record books for the biggest opening ever.
Yeah.
An estimated $148 million over 3 days, putting it ahead of the previous record holder Pirates of the Caribbean 2 Dead Man's Chest, which only made a measly $135.6 million over its opening weekend last year.
Yeah, I saw a couple of clips when the junkie... It was on
the pothead.
Was on one of the talk shows, and then so was Tobey Maguire, and two different clips, and I went, whoa. I thought they were very cool looking. I wish I could remember exactly what they were. The one that she showed wasn't as great as it was really cool. Either way, I was impressed.
So, hopefully I'll get to go see that maybe on Monday.
Did they already have the big thing in New York, right? Because I thought I remember Kelly Ripa talking about it, taking her kid, and he had some like web gun that he took with him, and some guy was sleeping on a park bench or something, and because they did some of it in Central Park or something, right?
Yeah.
And he just was like, he shot his web at this sleeping old man, probably homeless. He just got webbed by Kelly Ripa's kid or something like that. But yeah, if anybody that listens went, you know, or took part in that whole big extravaganza.
Spider-Man week in New York. Yeah. I'd like to hear about
it. We had lived in the area and I wasn't so terrified of big crowds of people. Not terrified, I know that, but uncomfortable.
I think that DeFixer lives in the area.
I thought so.
I don't know if he went.
Oh, I would like to hear from anybody who did any part of it. That's huge for the whole city to get involved like that.
Maybe I'll get to go see that Sunday or Monday in the theater.
Oh,
talk about it next week on the show. Because
you should take you and Abby should go or something. Yeah.
Well, if we go on Sunday, maybe Dave can go with us. Dave, you listening?
Yeah.
Give me a call. Ring a ding.
You guys should go as brothers. Yeah. That's so cute.
Well, I think we both went to the first two together. So.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, he got me into comics.
Yeah.
So anybody who likes this show, thank my brother David. Next up, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Liv Tyler will play the part of Betty Ross in Marvel Studios' The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, Betty's the...
She's the girlfriend.
Okay.
That was, I don't remember who played her in the original.
Oh, the chick from The Beautiful Mind, right? Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. She's okay.
No, but this, I think this movie's going to rock.
Maybe it wasn't the movie for her.
No, we've already got Ed. We already have Ed Norton as Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
I like Liv Tyler.
I do too. I love her. I think she'll be great.
I'm looking forward to this one.
She's gorgeous.
Lastly, this gets me giddy for some reason. There is a rumor. going about.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Oh, well, if anybody knows, let me know.
There's a rumor going about that Robert Rodriguez is in talks with Warner Brothers to direct a live-action version of the Jetsons for the big screen.
Oh, I don't know if that could be pulled off well.
Oh, if anybody could, he could do it.
Is it going to be, I want to say the word serious, but not like, I mean, it's going to be, or are they going to make it all goofy and stupid like they do when they did like,
what's the Jetsons?
Like other, I know, but goofy and stupid like that way, or, I don't know. I think about the movies they've redone, like Charlie's Angels and, you know, Starsky and Hutch. They make them stupid. They don't stick to the trueness of the show.
I think Robert Rodriguez I trust in him.
Oh, the casting on that would be really hard.
Yeah, but like I said, if anybody can do it, he could.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. I love that
And you've
show.
Just been watching his first two Spy Kids movies.
Oh, is that who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The TV in the kitchen, you broke it somehow.
I know.
We'd had it in the bedroom, well, the night that I was watching Boston Legal while you were doing your show, and then I had you bring it back out, and it has the rabbit ears antenna, and you got the cord caught on something, and now it just, I mean, the TV, I'm sure, works fine, but the little thing that you screw the
antenna
into, no matter what, I've used other antennas, and it didn't work, so I have to watch videos from the little VCR and the little TV, so, yeah.
We're watching all the kids' movies.
Yeah, we got some movies from a friend recently, some hand-me-down movies. And so, yeah, watching Spy Kids and Spy Kids 2. That's pretty cool stuff. I enjoyed it. I just finished up Spy Kids 2 tonight. It took like 5 days.
Yeah.
Every time I was in the kitchen, I needed something for background noise.
Well, that's what I like about Robert Rodriguez, because he's got kids, and he'll make movies like Sin City.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll also make movies like Spy Kids Shark Boy and Lava Girl for his kids.
Yeah, the kids would like that. Okay.
And that's all the news. On DVD this week, I didn't find anything that interested me, but I believe you did.
Oh, just a couple. Well, first of all, we should mention that...
Yeah, you were just talking like 2 weeks ago you wished...
Well, no, it's been 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yeah. One Day at a Time would come out. And it did.
It's out.
But we missed it because that was a week that I wasn't doing the show, so I didn't review the picks beforehand.
And it's not something I would generally look for.
Your eyes probably just didn't catch it, and you didn't come running into me and say, guess what, honey? Because that's very exciting.
Now,
so One Day at a Time. And I should have known that because I've seen Valerie Bertinelli on a lot of things lately, but she's mostly talking about her her association with Jenny Craig. So I guess the fact that she was actually promoting the release of One Day at a Time, too, overlooked.
If the title of the show had been listed as Schneider's One Day at a Time, it probably would have popped out, because as far as I'm concerned, he was the best part of that show.
He was great.
I went as Schneider for Halloween one year.
And I did look it up, and that wasn't...
Wasn't Ralph Macchio?
Heck no.
Oh, well, crap.
Heck no.
Dead as a mackerel.
And I just got one thing to say to everybody who also loves One Day at a Time. All right, then, Julie, don't come home. Oh, best show ever.
You say so.
Oh, yeah. Don't come home. Talk about tough love. People who know it know what I'm talking about.
What you got now?
Oh, that's right. Okay, so this week, Cagney and Lacey, season one. I loved that show when I was probably junior high.
Yeah, and I would have been... I was too busy watching the A-Team and Riptide.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this had to be at least one of the first, if not the first, you know, pretty much two female lead characters in a...
Cop show
or any kind of drama like that. At a time when there were just a lot of those, you know, nighttime soap opera shows on. In junior high, we had to write an essay once about, you know, what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I actually did mine on being a police officer because I liked them so much. So I want to see that. And then I saw this Mrs. Doubtfire Behind the Seams, SEAMS edition, 2-disc set. I think that we've got the video, I think, so we don't necessarily need the movie, but anything from behind the scenes would be interesting.
Yeah, but that's just what these movie studios do. They just reformat their movies every year and just stick on a, this will be our behind the scenes edition. And next year we'll do under the apron edition.
Yeah, but I like all the, how it was made kind of stuff. I love that part of special features on DVDs. That's probably my favorite part. Abby got Pretty in Pink for Christmas, which is a favorite show of my youth movie. And I didn't even watch the movie. I just watched all of the behind the scenes stuff and it was awesome. Okay. And then The Waltons season 5, I didn't even know The Waltons was out, but now that I know, we're going to have to start getting all of those on Netflix. So I can.
Okay.
I mean, that's just all American, man. Okay. People should. I'm a pilgrim. What can I say? I am. I'm not sorry about it either. So those are my interesting. And we couldn't pull up Netflix tonight.
No.
So we didn't get the whole release.
Well,
it's just a handful of them.
We got it from DVDjournal.com, which is pretty. They pretty much have everything on there.
Okay.
But all right. That was your news and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort.
You do that so well, honey.
So that brings us to my comic book.
Oh my gosh.
Picks of the week. Okay, first up this week from DC Comics. These are picks that were shipped on Wednesday from books that were shipped on Wednesday, April 25th. First up from DC Comics is Justice number 11. This was written by Jim Kruger and Alex Ross. Jim Kruger on script, Doug Braithwaite and Alex Ross on art, Todd Klein on letters, Stephanie Buscema is the assistant editor, and Joey Cavallari is the editor. This is just, I mean, the first thing you notice about this book is the art. Fully painted. It was Doug Braithwaite did all the pencils, and then Alex Ross goes over the top of them and with paints. And I'm not going to get into the details of the story because it's such a huge story at this point. But it's a really great book. I'm really glad I jumped on this Justice book. The only dig I could probably give the series altogether is the fact that it came out every other month. So there were quite a few times when a new issue would come out, I'd start to read it and I have no idea what happened. And I know at one point, I think issues 6 through 9, maybe even up to 10, I just let them pile up and then just went right back and read them all straight through. So this is going to be a good one when it comes out in trade. I think the first volume's out already and the second volume will be out soon, but, really good. It's just classic. It's just a classic Justice League story.
Okay.
I think it was billed as a more mature Super Friends. High action, great art, great story, a lot of fun. Really good book.
Ooh, nice cover.
Yes, very glossy.
Yeah, very high gloss.
And it's got one of these double page spreads. If you flip back to it real quick,
sure.
That would just drive me crazy if Simon ever saw it, because
who dat daddy?
It has like
who dat daddy? Who
300 daddy? Who dat heroes daddy? And villains. That was the cat.
Kitty cat.
Yeah. But Justice, I would recommend picking up the trades because it is if you like the Justice League and if you like Alex Ross art, because Doug Braithwaite does the pencils and Alex Ross does paints on top of it, it just looks so much better than a lot of Alex Ross's other works. But
okay, I'm dizzy just looking at this double page.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why it comes out every other month, because the dude's got to paint all this, and I can't imagine owning these works of art. You know, they got to sell for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But next up on my list for Marvel Comics.
Oh wait, is that what's her name?
That is Zatanna. Yeah.
Yeah, Simon just got two new action figures.
Yeah.
His aunt is visiting from Costa Rica. My sister. And she had him out one night, and he got her and some guy. Shining something?
Shining Knight.
Yeah. I never heard of either one of them before, so. Yeah. Cool.
But, you know, and I'm looking at this next issue, Daredevil, and I think I actually picked that last week. So I'm sticking with Justice number 11 for this week's
pick. Only pick of the week.
You know, honestly, the books that I got for April 25th, none of them really stood out for me except for Justice number 11. So that's my pick of the week.
It's a good pick.
All right. I was hoping to talk about The Astounding Wolfman number 1, but Craig didn't come through.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Okay. Well, let's move along in the show. This we're going to talk about top 10 comic book movies.
There was a picture, I think, of a Dr. Octopus. I don't know if it was an ad for another one or whatever.
Yeah,
but I just have to tell people, I don't think we've mentioned it before, how Simon plays Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
He's so cute and clever. He gets I have a regular upright vacuum cleaner that, of course, has all the attachments, and he gets the long black hose, you know, and he wraps that around himself and waves those around on both ends. And is that not a clever kid or what? He plays Dr. Octopus with those are his arms.
Okay.
I just think that's cute.
You know, and it is odd because I have noticed this during the month of April that they have an ad for a Marvel Comics game, video game, in the middle of DC Comics. I found that kind of weird. But before we move on to our next segment, I'd like to go ahead and pause for a moment while we let the cat upstairs. Thank you. Okay, that was fun.
Oh,
yeah, we're back.
Okay.
Yeah, we're back.
Hello, caught me off guard.
Okay, this is our next little segment here was planned for episode 35, but you weren't there for episode 35, and then you weren't there for episode 36. So
no, I was not.
We push it off to episode 37, and this is top 10 comic book movies. And I invited the listeners to chime in with their lists. So I got two submissions.
Awesome.
First one, text format, and the second one is a audio.
It's a great audio.
So we'll go with the little text one here first from Defixer3000 from over at the boards. He says, my top 10 movies of all time so far.
Yeah.
These are movies I can watch over and over and over again. Number 10, Hellboy. I rarely read the comic, but had a great time at the movie. Number 9, The Mask. It's one of the few movies I felt Jim Carrey did right. I love the cartoon. It always makes me laugh out loud. You didn't like The Mask?
I don't even think I saw it all the way through.
I enjoyed it. It didn't make my top 10, but I enjoyed it. Number 8, The Hulk. Yeah, the beginning was way too convoluted, and the ending was something Stanley Kubrick wished he had thought of, but I still love the movie. And I'll always say, the middle of that movie was awesome.
Yeah.
I'll skip the beginning, I'll skip the ending, just watching The Hulk break out of that lab and then
that was cool.
Throw tanks, and that was awesome. Number 7, he has Fantastic Four. People are too harsh on this flick. I agree that the Doctor Doom sucked, but otherwise I thought they got everything right. And why do people insist on expecting Jessica Alba to act?
I don't know.
It's one of those mysteries for the ages.
I agree.
I like Fantastic Four. It didn't make my list. Yeah, I think you did. Well, we had it for a while, but
okay.
It didn't make my list, and I don't know why people are so harsh on it either, but I think the second one looks awesome. Number 6, The Crow. I would have put this movie higher, but there were others that did top it. This movie was awesome. It came, was what it was, then went.
Yeah, it came, was what it was, then went, period. Okay.
Great villain, great visuals, just a dang diddly dang great movie.
Awesome.
I thought The Crow was okay. I know that my brother David was a big fan of The Crow movie, but
don't know it, never heard
of
it.
That didn't make my list either. Number 5, Spider-Man. Enough said. Yay, yay. I had to put that in. Number 4, Spider-Man 2. Dr. Octopus never looked so good. I have to agree with him there.
That guy who played that, he can play anything.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of different type of roles, and he did really well in that.
Number 3?
I just can't like him.
Yeah.
Ever since he did that movie with Sally Field. Not Without My Daughter.
Yeah.
So it's good that he played a bad guy, otherwise
he was mean.
Yeah, I couldn't have liked him.
Number 3, he has 300. It was a bad day to be a Persian, and it was my favorite day of all. I haven't seen 300 yet. I have a feeling.
It looks too.
Oh, I'll see it.
It's too big for me. It's just too much.
I'll see it.
Just from the commercials, it's overwhelming.
I have a feeling had I seen it before I made my list, it would have been on the list.
Probably.
Number two, Batman Begins. At last, they got it right, and now I can die happy. And I know you really like Batman Begins.
I like backstories like that.
Yeah.
I like to know how people became, you know, with any kind of movie, with any kind of story. I really, really like that.
Number one.
Well, I want to watch that again.
Okay. The Fixer has for number one, V for Vendetta. Nothing has replaced it yet. I disagree with every criticism, which is really a whole bag of nitpicking. This movie has something to say and said it with style. Hugo Weaving is the man.
It was good.
I just recently rewatched that, and did I put that on my list?
You got to poke my eye out with that thing. If I hadn't worn glasses, I'd be blind.
I don't have it on my list. I dropped the ball. Yeah, I dropped the ball.
Yeah. Because
that is a good movie. I didn't put it on my list. The list is right there.
I thought you did your list with Craig.
No, that's my list. No, Craig did his list.
With your help.
With my help.
Okay.
My list is coming up.
Yeah. Well, we'll go to your list and then we'll tell me, like, maybe what you would replace.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Okay. Well, let's play the next submission.
The
it's a voicemail. All right. Here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Steven, Karen. This is Justin.
And this is Rachel.
And we're here to give you the top 10 list and other comments for the show. Our top 10 list movies starts off with number 10, Blade.
Number 9, of American Splendor.
Then, of course, we picked number 8 to be Judge Dredd, because law, I am the law.
And then Superman.
And then the next one's going to be Hellboy.
And then Spider-Man.
And then X-Men.
Then Batman, 1989.
And then followed by Constantine.
And our number one pick is V for Vendetta.
Okay, so we got another one.
I love them.
We got another one.
They should be our new best friends.
They should.
We should go out for coffee.
They only live about 4 hours away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're over, I think, in Missouri, somewhere. Yeah.
In Missouri?
Missouri.
Well, that's the show me state. So you got to show me. I don't know what that means.
Show me the money.
Rachel, you sound adorable.
Yeah, so they
actually had a little blooper at the end of their voicemail, which I really want you to play, but I think she says the F word.
Yeah, she draws a little F bomb, so I'd love to play.
It's very cute. Yeah.
But and they had V for Vendetta at number one as well.
And I've never heard of Constantine. I don't know.
Constantine,
what year?
That came out maybe just a few years ago. It had, oh God, why can't I think of his name?
I don't know, but don't take the Lord's name in vain in front of me. Thank you.
Sorry.
Unless it was G-A-W-D.
Oh. Yeah, God.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves. It was, the comic book was called Hellblazer, and they Americanized it for the movies because it was a British character, which I never read the book.
Was that the one that Shia LaBeouf guy was in?
Yep.
You know, I remember that from Regis and Kelly when I was trying to win a van, and I was taking notes every single day of the show because I needed to win a minivan. I didn't, but okay, I remember that.
All right, so let's do my list.
Okay.
And
thanks for your contribution.
I'm actually going to edit this as I go because one of them I put down as a mistake. But we'll start at the bottom here. Number 10 for me was Mystery Men, which is a great movie. And I know you've seen it, but we'll have to watch it again. But
I have such problems with both short and long-term memory. It's ridiculous.
It's got a great cast. And of course, none of them are popping in my head right now. But, you know, some great... It's a comedy.
Oh.
And it's very funny. Very funny movie. It's got characters in there like The Bowler, which from Janine Garofalo did The Bowler. It has
I'm not sure William I actually
H.
watched
William
that.
H. Macy as the shoveler.
Yeah.
And then the main character whose name eludes me for a moment. I can't think of his Ben Stiller. And I can't remember his superhero name, but basically his power was when he gets angry, he gets strong. Very, very funny movie.
Okay. Number nine
is Judge Dredd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I originally had something else in there, but I'm going with Judge Dredd because I really enjoyed that movie.
Okay.
Number eight, Blade 2. It's the only Blade movie I have in my list because I enjoyed Blade 2 much better than the other. I didn't like Blade 3 at all. And Blade was good, but I think Blade 2 is much better.
That's pretty rare.
Well, yeah.
That a second or third can top a first. I mean, they can be equally as good, but it's pretty rare for.
I think if you ask, I think if you ask the average comic book fan, though, they'll tell you that Blade was better than Blade 2. Okay. In my opinion, I like Blade 2 better. I like Blade 2 better because I thought it had a lot of interesting characters in it. Number seven, Hellboy, great movie, great. Number six, Sin City. Number five, Batman Begins. Number four, Batman.
With
this is the Tim Burton movie with Michael Keaton.
Okay, okay.
And the only reason I put that on top of Batman Begins is because this movie, I must have seen this that movie at least 10 times in the theater. And
that's kind of sad.
Well, I was in high school at the time, and I loved the movie so much. It turned me into a Batman fanatic for a good 2 years. I would every time I would go to the store, I'd buy a new Batman T-shirt, and I could wear a different Batman T-shirt every day of the week at school for two weeks solid. And don't think I didn't.
I bet you did.
Number three, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Number two, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And again, I think Spider-Man 2 was a better movie than Spider-Man, but Spider-Man made, you know, I saw Spider-Man first, of course, and Spider-Man made me feel like a little kid again.
Yeah, it did. You got so excited just watching commercials.
Oh.
You were like, oh my gosh, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, you were nuts about it. I like it when little things can make you happy.
And number one, the original Superman. By Richard Donner back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
All right. So those were my top 10. You know,
and you got to have it as number one simply just for like nostalgia, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, you watch it now and you think, oh my gosh, that's kind of so lame, you know, but the nostalgia of it, you just can't beat
that. But, and there are.
I just didn't like the Lex Luthor guy in that.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Oh, I can never remember his name.
I can't remember his name, but he should. Yeah. Because, well, that's my fault, though, because now the only Lex Luthor that I can put in my head is from Smallville.
Yeah, he does a great job.
So he, totally doesn't match up with that.
No,
and, like, who's going to be Lex Luthor in the upcoming one?
Well, it was Kevin Spacey in Superman Returns.
Oh, yeah. See,
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
And Superman Returns was on my list. That's what I replaced Judge Dredd with. But Superman Returns.
Put V for Vendetta.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
That would have at least made my top five. Maybe. I don't know. If I had to do a top 11, it'd be between Batman Begins and Sin City.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
All right. Well, let's move along in the show and do some Ask the Fanboys. I've got a few questions here that some of them are, you know, a few weeks old. But again, since you weren't around for episode 35.
If I'm not here.
Exactly. First question comes from Comic Addict. And he asks, I've got a question for the fanboy and his lovely bride. How did you two meet? Oh, yeah, it could be a relationship episode if I ask more.
Yeah, we keep that answer pretty simple. We met at work.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together in the same department.
You had this really annoying habit of I would go out on break and I would...
I thought you were the lonely boy.
I would break away from the pack and go off on my own to read a book because... Not because I was lonely, not because I didn't have any friends. I wanted to read my book.
I know.
No, I was not using it as a shield. I wanted to read my book.
I know, but you look like a lonely boy.
And I would always get somebody who'd come up and say, hey, what you
reading? What are you reading? How are you doing?
Good.
Trying to get you to talk and communicate with the real world. But yeah, so we would just chat. That's it.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
And then next question.
MGuy 1977.
I'm sorry it can't be more interesting, that answer, but that's pretty much how it goes.
But yeah, I was reading a book and she came up and talked to me and in my head I heard Dreamweaver.
That's sad.
MGuy 1977 asks, what Batman stories do you like, Steven? You can spotlight certain trades of Batman. Well, I'm not sure about the second part, if you're asking me to actually do a spotlight show on Batman, but, you know, it's a possibility in the future with the new format coming up. But first off is pretty much a standard answer for anybody, which is The Dark Knight Returns. This is the book that made me fall in love with Batman all over again.
Dark Knight Returns sounds like the title of a really bad miniseries or something.
No.
This Danielle Steele novel, The Dark Knight Returns.
This is a book that came out.
I'm thinking NIGHT. Is it KNIGHT?
Yeah.
Okay, there's the difference.
Yeah, and this is a book that came out when Batman was still kind of getting over that whole thing from the 70s and 60s where he was kind of campy and not taken too seriously. And then The Dark Knight Returns came out, and you can pretty much thank the dark 90s for that book. But some other ones I like, Batman Year One, also a Frank Miller book. He did Dark Knight Returns. One of my absolute favorites is The Long Halloween by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, 12-issue mini. Or it might be 13. I don't know. But if you haven't read it, read it, because it is a great Batman book. You don't have to know a lot about Batman to get into that book. You don't have to know a lot of anything you need to know about Batman is in that book. If you've never picked up a Batman book before, you can pick up along.
Backstory too, kind of like Batman Begins.
To a certain extent. I mean, really, all you need to know about Batman is that his parents died. Mm-hmm. He took a vow as a kid to avenge them and trained to
Batman. I don't think it was until I met you, and maybe certainly it was before Batman Begins came out, but I didn't ever realize that he didn't have any actual physical powers other than his gadgets. And I had seen, you know, in what, the 90s, the Batman movies, I mm-hmm. think. And I never clicked in my head that he didn't have, and I think I would have to put him as probably, if I had my very narrowed knowledge of comic book heroes and whatnot, I'd have to put him up as a favorite simply because he does it all natural.
Yeah. He's just an extraordinary human being. With a lot of money.
Yeah, that helps. Hmm.
Other than that, there were a couple other Batman stories from the 90s that I really enjoyed, but I never actually read the comics. One is the Nightfall story when Bane broke Batman's back and somebody else had to take up the mantle of the bat. And I never read the actual issues. I never read any of the comics, but I read the novelized version. I really enjoyed it. Another one was the No Man's Land storyline, which, again, I didn't read any of the comics, but I think I listened to an audio drama version of it, and I really enjoyed it. So
this brings up something to me that I need to ask you off the air at some point so that you can actually explain it. It wasn't until maybe 3 weeks ago were you doing Spider-Man Unlimited and the Ultimate Spider-Man as your picks of the week. And I just, another thing that hadn't dawned on me, I don't quite understand the whole more than one storyline at a time. And I think there's a Spider-Man comic book. There's a Batman comic book. I don't, you know, like I said, I know the explanation at this point, but at some point it had to just be, as a non-comic book understander, I just have always assumed there's just one long running story. It really wasn't until we started doing this show. And that night when you had two separate Spider-Mans, it's kind of like CSI has the same characters.
And
it has all, you know, CSI Miami, CSI New York.
I had picked Amazing Spider-Man as a pick of the week. And I think I talked about Ultimate Spider-Man in that same episode.
I remember two U's.
But,
how they have different writers and different artists have different storylines all going on at the same time. I never got that before. And I don't quite understand it.
Spider-Man, it's a couple different things. Spider-Man in the main Marvel universe has three different titles. Amazing Spider-Man, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I think the other one is either Sensational Spider-Man or the Spectacular Spider-Man. Batman, same thing. He's got two or three titles. Superman's got two or three titles.
I just don't think there's anything else that you can equate that to that would make a good comparison. You know, like the CSI, even though those are all CSI shows, they all have different characters. These are all Spider-Man stories.
Yeah, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief to a certain extent because they don't, to some of them, you know, back in the 80s and 90s with Superman had four different titles going on at the same time, and they actually all tied in together. So you had a different Superman title each week of the month, and it was telling one big story. But each title had their own, you know, writer and artist team on it. But, you know, it's one of those things where...
Is it just a profit thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that, again, using the CSI comparison, this show's doing good. Let's kick off another one and another one. So,
but then there's books like...
Do you get confused with the storylines because you're reading three different Spider-Man stories all at once?
It's some people get annoyed by that because of continuity, but I don't worry about that too much.
I just always assumed it was just one long story. It had to have started out that way. There were Spider-Man stories and Batman.
Because, you know, Spider-Man started out as one Spider-Man title.
Yeah.
And then eventually at some point, probably somebody came up and said, hey, I got a good idea for a Spider-Man story.
And instead of just working that into the current Spider-Man, they started a whole new book.
Said, we could make, if we're making this much money off of one Spider-Man title, imagine how much we can make off of two Spider-Man titles.
This is so much and more in-depth than I ever realized.
Yeah. But then you've got books like Ultimate Spider-Man, which is in a completely different universe altogether.
Stop right there.
All right. M Guy finishes with, besides Boston Legal, what hobby/interests do you have, Mrs. Fanboy?
This is so sad because I just don't, really. I used to, I suppose.
Other than your celebrity gossip and your balloon popping.
Yeah, really, really cheesy, kind of stereotypical, kind of stay-at-home mommy kind of stuff. Now, I know there are, you know, moms who can juggle things really well. They can actually get out of their house with three children and do things, or they have enough money to pay babysitters and daycare centers and, you know, play group kind of things. No, I stay at home with the kids nearly 24/7. It's hard for me to juggle three little ones and actually get out and go anywhere. And I, you know, as far as trying to find time during the day to actually have any sort of hobby, probably laziness on my part. If I liked something enough, if I had enough passion about something, I'd probably make the time. But just trying to keep up with the family of six, I have a hard the cobwebs. You know, I have a hard enough time keeping the dust off the ceiling fans. So, sadly, the answer to that would be network television and the few websites that I like to visit online. I know that's sad,
well,
but
you're
really
into Heroes.
I am. Yeah. Yep, there's a lot of TV shows I like. Nothing that I really would stay home for if something came up. If someone said, oh, let's do something on such and such a night, I don't think I would say, oh, I can't because this is on. I'm not that much of
Let's talk about TV for a second. What shows do you enjoy watching every week?
Okay, well, let's start with Sunday night. We like, I like Desperate Housewives and... Oh, what's that? Brothers and Sisters. Yeah, after that, I really like. Monday night, we watch Heroes. Tuesday night, I used to watch Boston Legal. Wednesday night, I like Medium. Thursdays, of course, Grey's Anatomy. Oh, what comes on after that now?
I don't know.
I like that new show, Notes from the Underbelly. Cracks me up. I thought that show, I haven't seen it lately, the Thank God You're Here.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show. It's on Wednesdays.
But what I'm really looking forward to is the show that's on during the summer, with the Hell's Kitchen guy, the chef.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Fox, I think. And sometimes we have a hard time getting that channel in.
Yeah.
But I love that. So I'm looking forward to that. Not too many reality-based type shows.
We really like 24, but we watch that on DVD through Netflix.
Yeah. And we watch Lost, but we're kind of lost on Lost. Yeah, so we'll wait and get that on DVD. Yeah.
We were into Alias, but
I
that
really
was all
miss
on DVD.
Friends.
Yeah.
I really, really miss
that was
them.
That was a big thing for us on Thursday nights.
It
was our night.
And ER we haven't watched in years.
Friends
it's
and
gotten
ER. It's too different than it used to
be. Yeah. I play around a little on the computer and I watch a lot of TV. TV's almost always on in the house, if not just, you know, for background noise. Two back-to-back episodes of Roseanne on a local station that I like, which makes me giddy because they used to play stuff like Blind Date and those really weird, wacky, talk shows that are just lame or just courtroom shows. There's not a lot of good quality daytime TV for women, really, on network television,
which is what
we have. So I used to be into photography. I used to be into some painting, nothing professional, nothing taught, just, you know, fun, crafty kind of stuff. But I'm pretty busy with the kids and that's all. But thanks for asking. that's a long way to say I don't got any interest in nothing.
All right. Well, our last question comes from Rachel.
Rachel.
And she asks, not sure where this is in relation to where you live, but have you guys ever followed the Yellow Brick Road in Liberal?
Didn't know what that was until I read this and I looked it up online. There's probably a lot more in Kansas. We should just take road trips on the weekends occasionally. Yep. It sounds like a cute little town with some cute little... I mean, I've heard of Liberal, Kansas, but I didn't know that there was that kind of sightseeing thing there. But now maybe we'd have to check that out.
Maybe.
I think that's a nice question. Also, there was a question, speaking of Kansas, that you didn't print out, but they were asking if we were okay, in regard to the weather we've had here lately. We are fine. We didn't get much right here. Of course, the terrible, horrific tornado in Greensburg, which I've never even heard of that town before this happened. So
very devastating.
Horribly devastating. And I just have to say something here. I have to get a little political. I called my brother, who is a National Guardsman, who is recently back from a year in Iraq. He's a Kansas Guardsman. And our governor, who I love and admire, made a comment on one of the morning shows recently with one of the, Al Roker or somebody was interviewing her. And she made some comments about how, as a state with the National Guard, we're not prepared to handle what's going on in Greensburg because so much of our equipment, she said specifically, trucks and Humvees are in Iraq. She also went on to say that we can't even call upon the help of other states because they too are short on equipment and whatnot. I don't cuss much. I really don't. But I have to call bullshit on that. And I called my brother to confirm it. And sure enough, it was more of a, it's fine there. It's not fine there. That's not what I mean. There's plenty of National Guardsmen and equipment to do what needs to be done. Bottom line, there's nothing that can be done.
Well,
that whole town is gone. Right now, the few Kansas National Guardsmen that are there are basically doing, security.
And your brother would know. He's a high ranking.
Oh, yeah. He's not some 20-year-old.
Yeah.
He's been in for 20 years. He's a lieutenant colonel. So, yeah, I'm so proud of him. I said, well, what does the National Guard do when she makes such a blatantly false statement? And he said, she's our commander in chief. What she says goes. So you got to respect that. But basically, he just said there's really nothing that can't, there's nobody there. There's nothing to do. The whole town is gone. It's not like they can do what they normally would do. There aren't even streets to be cleared. The streets are gone. Basically, they help set up communications, and they're there running security for what little needs to be done for rubberneckers and for the. But for her to say that we couldn't, we don't have the ability to call on other states. We wouldn't even need the help of anyone else. Everything. He went on to say that the ice storm that we had in January was much, much, much more severe and in need of National Guard assistance, and there was plenty. He did say that, yes, a lot of the engineering equipment is overseas and has been for 4 years, and probably a lot of it won't be coming back. And this was maybe her shout out to Washington to say we need to get some things replaced in our state more than anything, and maybe a little shout against the war. But really, our National Guardsmen are wonderful, and she's been very supportive of them. But if you saw her on TV making those comments, disregard them. There are plenty of men and equipment to do what can be done, which is very little. That whole town is gone. What are they supposed to be doing? Nothing. Nothing to do.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to those in Greensburg, Kansas. It's just, I just cannot imagine having something like that. I mean, it's one thing if your home is destroyed, but your entire town is gone. I couldn't imagine.
That aerial shot just makes you go, if you've seen it on the news, which everybody has.
Because it's not just your home that's being destroyed. It's photographs and
any kind of destruction ruins those sort of things. But for an entire community to really, the chances of them rebuilding, very slim. I mean, and as far as the National Guard's role in the cleanup of all of that, I was informed that that's the city-county responsibility to contract that out. So it's not like what isn't. Like nothing's being done. Things are being done. What can be done? So anywho, well,
and amazingly enough, they're really for an entire town like that to be destroyed. Very little loss of life.
I think nine. Possibly, which is they had a lot of warning though, which is
they had 30 minutes
better, I think, and better and better.
30 minutes of warning, yeah, and it brings up some good points because I think the last time we had really bad tornado damage in the area, not our area, but, in the whole tornado alley in Oklahoma and whatnot. I know they did saw some stuff on the news with certain smaller towns that just don't even have a tornado siren. I couldn't imagine because really we live in an area, of course, where we don't have to worry about hurricanes. We don't have to worry about.
There's something everywhere that you live pretty much.
Tornadoes just scare the crap out of me
they're bad.
They literally can
come out of nowhere,
destroy the house across the street, skip the one next to it, and come after yours.
Mm-hmm.
And
And you never get used to it.
No.
I mean, you never get used to it. It's those sirens go off and or you don't know when do we go to the cellar? What, you know, how long do you wait or whatever?
And it's, and of course, our cellar, our house being over 100 years old, when in times like that, it's 3 feet deep of water.
Right.
You know, and so
it's
we
like a it's I think I maybe I've said before, it's like Wizard of Oz, Dorothy. Cellar. Yeah. You pull the door up out of the ground. You have to go outside and walk around. And there's electrical, you know, there's electricity down there with light and the furnace. And then it's got, we you can, know, 3 feet of water. We're not going to
we can get
down there.
We can get under our stairs, which is in the middle of the house. So,
yeah.
But something like that, you know, it even if we had got, you know, something like that, a tornado that size.
Have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen a tornado?
Yes.
You have? I've never seen one, which, you know. Part of me thinks it would be cool to see one from a distance that wasn't causing too much damage, but I've never actually, we'll have to talk about that. I didn't know that about you, but anywho, and then the floodings, of course, Sam Champion was in Topeka. I wish I'd known that, man. I love him. He's the ABC morning weather guy. And he was in Topeka talking about the flooding. And yes, you know, the pictures that they showed on TV again looked horrific. But again, I've just been informed that it was, sections here and there, like an intersection would be flooded over or, you know, one yard. It wasn't like half of the city was flooded. Pictures that they showed just made it look that way. Not that the people who didn't get some damage didn't get it bad, but again, not as bad as it looked. So, all right, that's the weather in Kansas. I just wanted to clear that stuff up.
Okay, well, let's do some listeners' feedback.
Oh, wait. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Listeners' feedback. Okay, first up is some feedback regarding episode 35. This is from New Mutant from the boards, who says, "Well, I missed Karen. Sounded like you did too."
I listened to that episode. You didn't sound like you missed me.
But I did. My heart was grieving. He says, "On your recommendation, I browsed through Avengers the Initiative and was sufficiently bummed out. I'll not be picking that one up again. I'm not happy with the new atmosphere of skullduggery, which came about since, well, seems... since Dark Knight Returns, surely not. And I'm certainly not advocating bland, happy fun time, but can we put a moratorium on grisly sudden death? Can we have a generation of comics that are fun to read again, like the Fantastic Four, for instance? They go through all sorts of torture, but their sanctity of their love and relationships is still intact. You don't see Alicia getting raped and killed or Wyatt Wingfoot getting trampled by a buffalo stampede."
Hmm.
He makes a good point. And I think
So do I understand that you recommended this? He tried it and didn't like it.
Yeah, that was one of my picks of the week.
Okay.
And I completely understand the point he's making, because I think I even commented on the board about this. I can't think of any books off the top of my head that I get that are just good, fun books.
Hmm.
There has been a lot of violence in comics lately. And
we need to check out that Sabrina.
I think if honestly, if you're wanting some just good old fun superhero adventure, you may have to go with more like the Marvel Adventures line, which, you know, books that are geared towards kids. It is kind of sad to a certain extent. I personally, I love Avengers the Initiative, but
probably,
oh yeah, there's, I'm
sure not totally for kids, but isn't so adult that it's violent and crude.
Yep.
It's there. We just have to find it.
Next up is a comment regarding episode 36. This is from Cabela, or as he's known to me, my brother David. It says, "Great issue." Okay, it's an episode, Dave. He goes on to say, "Wasn't thrilled on the subject matter before now." Before, okay, rewind.
Please.
"Great issue. Wasn't real thrilled on the subject matter before, but now I am interested in checking out some Madman. Sounds like you three had a good time doing the episode and would love to hear more. This was the kind of comic book podcast that I really enjoy, but I do love your current format also."
Cool.
You know, and with the new format coming up, you know, he will get more episodes like that. And I do want to say, Mr. Cabela David, there are a lot of other great podcasts that really go in depth on comics much, 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 much more than I do. Yeah. Raging Bullets is one of them. Those are the guys that were on last week, Sean and Jim.
There's a lot of them out there,
they go very in depth. They're an all DC podcast. Bullpen Bulletins is a Marvel podcast. They tend to go in depth on a lot of Marvel books. You know, there's a lot of really great comic book podcasts out there. So
this is a really couple's only podcast.
That's right. So that's it for listeners' feedback. Anything else you want to talk about?
Before I don't think so. I think I've run my mouth enough for playing catch up. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you, honey.
Well, if you want to leave comments about the show, you can email me at justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. You can go be a member of the board. You can find that at cgspodcast.com/forum2, or just go to justanotherfanboy.com.
Whatever you want, baby. Right. It's your show.
And click on the link that says My Message Board. You can call the voice line at 1-877-309-8367, extension 212. That number will be in the show notes.
Excellent.
Just Another Fanboy is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network at comicspodcasts.com. Check it out for all your comics podcasting needs, because there are a lot of great ones out there. If you like the show, I implore you to go to iTunes and leave a review. The more reviews we get, the higher in the rankings we go, the more listeners we may get from that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and I want to send a thanks to Sean and Jim for coming on to the show.
Having a nice boys' night.
Yeah.
Testosterone-filled evening.
If you listen to last episode, and frankly, if you are a listener of Raging Bullets and you've listened to us for the first time last week, I hope you're sticking around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would do your heart good.
It'd be great.
That would be great.
It'd be great.
Okay. I forgot we were going to do that. And gosh.
Theme song for this episode is Comic Book by the Super Spies. Find it and information about the band at garageband.com. The rest of the music comes from the Podshow Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.
And Simon has been, he was really sick yesterday. Oh, didn't go to school. I kept him home today just to make sure. So I don't know what his new secret sound letter of the next 2 weeks is going to be, but I should find out tomorrow. And when I do, what?
Oh, my idiot self. My idiot self. I come home today and I'm sitting with him on the floor and I said, Simon, you know, we're talking about stuff. And I said, Simon, what's your secret sound this week? And he hasn't been to school all week. And he kind of goes, I have not been to school.
That's right.
I said, yeah, Dad's an idiot.
He'll go to school tomorrow, and hopefully he'll come home and tell me what his new secret sound is, and then we can start trying to find all the comic book heroes and villains that begin with that letter.
I tried to find him another one of those 10-inch Justice League figures at the store, but they didn't have any. I wanted to bring home a toy for my sick boy.
Yeah, he's doing much better.
He is.
He had a yucky day yesterday.
He sure did.
But
he didn't throw up on me, which is nice, because
that's a nice change for you.
Typically, when the kids get sick,
he threw up in the green bowl.
Yeah, they tend to throw up all over me.
That's how they initiate you into parenthood.
Yeah. All right. Well,
good show, hon. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you all.
Nice talking to you all.
Okay. Be more clever than that.
I can't. I'm spent. I'm spent.
Okay. Let's go watch some Boston Legal on tape.
So until next week. I'm Steven.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm just another fanboy.
And I love him for it.
Yay!
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.